This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome to episode 162 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch, as we are here every week on Wednesday, except for next week. We'll get to that later. And it's just two dudes talking about WordPress, trying to convince you that we know what we're talking about, and really we don't. Hey, Marcus, how's it going?
Oh, awesome. Perfect.
All that for a rim shot? That whole way. That whole way, stepping on my intro, everything else, for the stupid Google rim shot. All right. It's great to be back, Jeff. And it's WordPress 4.0 is out, and we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more in this episode with our special guest.
Great recovery. I almost thought we derailed the whole show there.
That's why I'm the professional.
So speaking of our special guest, his name is Chris Wegman. He is a web developer who has worked on the web in one fashion or another since the mid-1990s. Boy, that was a long time ago. Starting in the days of HTML and Gopher was something that seemed cool. He quickly advanced to the really fun stuff, including PHP, JavaScript, and of course, WordPress. He currently works for iThemes as the lead developer of iThemes Security. Chris, thank you very much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me.
So let's start with our first story here. WordPress 4.0 Benny was released last week, September 4th to be exact. This release is named after Benny Goodman, American jazz and swing musician. His nickname was the King of Swing. So pretty cool. And this was a historic release because it was led by Helen Husandi, who is this is the first time a WordPress release has been led by a woman. So that's pretty cool. I think that's a great historical milestone, and I hope that serves as inspiration for other women to get highly involved with WordPress development. Host of new features of WordPress 4.0, there's a new media grid view. So now it makes looking at your different images in the media library really pretty. You can see them all as big thumbnails. There's an improved writing experience with a lot of improvements to the post editor, sort of my favorite area of enhancements in 4.0. Then you have the O-Embed previews, which is really nice in the visual editor. Now when you put in the URL to a whitelisted O-Embed provider, let's say YouTube, you actually see the YouTube video show up in the visual editor. So it's another enhancement to the what you see is what you get type of editor. It's just really cool. I really like those enhancements. And then we have the refresh plugin install and search experience, improved language support during install and WordPress, and just a host of other enhancements for developers, such as the customizer API and query ordering. Marcus, have you had a chance to play around with 4.0 yet? And if so, what do you like about it?
What I like, I do like the new media browser. That's very handy as far as going through all your pictures without hitting next page, next page, next page, next page. So I really like that. That's pretty cool. I dislike the feature that you mentioned about the new plugin installation kind of portal, I guess you could say. I kind of miss the old interface. This seems a lot slower. It just seems like it's a really little chunky as far as when it gets to that page and getting to the particular plugin that you're looking for, and it's not the condensed list that I really liked before. Now you really have to kind of go through it. So, but that's just me. You know, I want to look at 50 plugins at once. Probably not a lot of other viewers out there. You know, or searchers within the website have that same, you know, desire to see that much as far as the variety goes. But those are my first, you know, two impressions so far, but it seems to be working pretty well. I've had no problems with any upgrades or anything like that. A lot of the major plugins that I use seem to have upgraded their versions as well to compensate for the new release of 4.0. So far, so good.
So I've been hammering on the fact that I really want Sticky Toolbar, the Sticky Toolbar. So when it gets rid of dueling scroll bars, and it the it's really nice. Now I could scroll within the content, and the sticky bar stays at the top of the page. I don't have to scroll all the way up in that little content area to get to the content formatting options. And it comes in handy, especially on the MacBook Pro, where I don't have a lot of space for writing content. But I've noticed now that instead of I have some meta boxes that I use underneath the post editor, and I've noticed now that I have to scroll all the way through the content in order to access the meta boxes below the post content. As in the previous editor, I could just go to the right of the editor, scroll down, because it was like a separate area, and then access the meta boxes that way. So a little bit of a downside to the editor improvements, but it's not a big deal for me. Chris, have you had a chance to mess around with 4.0? And
I've been testing it.
What's your favorite?
I've been testing it since the early betas.
I'd imagine you have to, being the lead developer of an insanely popular plugin.
Think. You know, it's funny. Truth be told, I test in the future version before I test in the current version.
Well, that makes sense. So, like bleeding edge nightlies, right? Or
yeah, I mean, I always keep. I have my own Vagrant setup, which is done pretty well. The primary Vagrant, so it does legacy, which is the last major version, current, which or stable, which is of course current stable, and then it does trunk. So whatever's in the trunk. So I've been doing most of my dev on trunk simply because backwards compatibility doesn't seem to fail. It's always the future compatibility that's the biggest pain point as far as being a plugin developer. So I've been really freaking happy with it.
Awesome. Any thoughts on the new plugin installer, the cards, and the sort of enhanced visual experience of plugins? Have you already gone through and made the necessary changes to make iTheme Security look good?
We were one of the early plugins on it. They only put that in beta, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we did it so early that Nason pinged me on Facebook and said, "Hey, your file name's wrong." and that was not just me. That was also Exchange. That was Backup. It wasn't Backup Buddy. Myself and Exchange are the only two on the repo. So we both had to go back and fix it. But I like it. This goes back. I interviewed for another prominent WordPress company that has a big blog and a lot of paid plugins. Long before even this plugin, I thought of monetizing it. And they gave me a trial project, was make the plugin update experience better. Well, there was not what we have now. So my whole thing was, well, let's pull in screenshot one if it's there and put screenshot one there. They didn't like it too much. They gave me 5 hours, I think, to do the whole project. So to see this go to where they actually have good, similar to the lines I had done, and actually have good icons, I think it's kind of cool. I know what I'm looking at. I'm drawn to the image. I don't notice the speed issues Marcus is doing, but it could just be because, or it could be because I just simply don't download that many plugins. I don't have that many sites. I mean, being I do a plugin, it's not like I'm going out and downloading plugins for all my clients. I don't have clients. So maybe that makes it a little bit easier.
Well, Marcus, when it comes back to the speed issue, is it just the fact that now you have big blocky cards and you have to wade through them
exactly.
All?
Yeah, exactly. Is that what it is? Yeah, it's not a load thing. It's really just it takes me longer to get through that, to go through the cards and things. But, I agree with Chris. I think that, and Jeff, you and I have discussed it as far as, these little cards and the images that they have will start to resemble apps. So you'll start to, get to know your little icon as far as what these particular plugins are, and they'll have some branding and some recognition out there because of it. So for me, I guess it's just, the list aspect. Maybe I'm just looking for a longer list, and I'll get over it. Don't worry.
You got a good point, though, Marcus, and I'm curious as to see how, as time goes on, people who are new to WordPress, how they react to it. Like, I go to it, and I'm like, oh, WordPress SEO, I download it, boom. My eyes are just right to that, mm-hmm. Yoast plugin. Because right. 20 plugins pop up, I'm attracted to the icon first, and that's what I want to install. But I'll be curious to see how somebody who just Googles or not Google's, but searches for, so let's say SEO, how does that affect their experience? As somebody who, I mean, dear to my heart, somebody who just searches for security, how does that affect their experience? I'll be curious to see how that plays out. For the new user, it's clearly geared towards somebody who knows the plugin they're going for. I'll be curious to see how it handles the new plugin, the new user.
So I wonder, do you think it's the actual icon and the image that will make plugins popular in the future just based on how cool they look?
I think it'll help. I think what we're seeing here is sort of like a miniature version of Google, where, you know, Google, you had authorship, you had little images, and people clicked them, and you were associated with those articles. Sort of the same thing here now with the search engine of the plugin repo, where now your plugins have cards, images, and all that stuff sort of enhances your ability to sort of, not necessarily show up higher in the rankings, but draw visual attention to it to maybe it would get more clicks or more people would check it out just based on the visual parts of it.
I think you're right. I'm totally curious to see how that's going to happen. It's like Apple, and I have everything Apple, so this isn't an Apple knock. But how many people are design over function? I'm curious to see. Yeah, I'll be curious to see where that plays out over time.
So speaking of plugins and updating, there's Bob Dunn, who is a longtime WordPress coach. Great guy. I had a chance to meet him at a few different WordCamps. In fact, met him at WordCamp San Francisco last year. Great guy, teaches WordPress to a ton of people. He actually did an experiment on his website locally. He created two different sites, one where he used general plugins and things of that nature, just a Genesis Child theme with Genesis-specific plugins. Ended up having 100 plugins installed and activated on that website. Then on another website, he used Canvas for WooThemes with WooCommerce and several WooCommerce extensions. And that site also had 100 plugins activated. So what he did is he recorded a video of him doing the WordPress 4.0 upgrade routine with 100 plugins activated, which is, you know, really cool. My expectation was, okay, the server and his website is going to melt down because based on everything I've heard, I've read, the forum post, you know, there's been arguments over the years about how many plugins is too many. Well, lo and behold, nothing happened. The site continued to work. The front end was accessible. There was no white screen of death. WordPress 4.0, the upgrade routine, went flawlessly on both sites with all those plugins activated and installed. Marcus, I don't know if you had a chance to see the video, but are you surprised that that happened? I mean, considering, you know, all the horror stories we hear about of upgrading WordPress and because of this plugin or that plugin, their site breaks?
Well, I have not had the pleasure to see Bob's video just yet, but I'm certainly going to. The notion of having so many plugins will slow your site down is no different than running a lot of different programs or applications on whatever computer or device you happen to be using. It's no different. It's a memory issue. So servers have memory. They have certain megs as far as how many, you know, how much is allowed to be run. And remember, every single plugin is just like a small little program being run or a task being run within Windows or iOS or any of that stuff. So naturally, you've got to assume that with the progression of servers and things, memory capacity and that type of stuff, that the old myths out there that were established with having too many plugins were strictly memory-based and probably sloppy code as well back then. But I think we're kind of past that with modern servers, modern speed, and you know, enhanced and expanded memory options as far as hosting. I think we're beyond that point.
Well, bad code and plugins, I think people would argue that we're still a long way, long ways from having a lot of plugins, you know, with good quality code. But I think it's very encouraging that he used all these different plugins, activated on the site, and they all played nicely with each other, and the upgrade process went smoothly. And, you know, it's not, as I've always said, and I'm trying to hammer this point home because I've actually had this question come up at various WordPress meetups where they say, how many plugins is too many? Is there such a thing as too many plugins? And although I say that each plugin you install, I mean, there's a risk with every plugin you install. And I think sometimes, you know, the more plugins you have, the higher that risk is to where when you update WordPress that something may not play right with each other. However, it only takes one plugin to crash your site. And that's really the bottom line. So it's not like, you know, how many is too many. Like if you have 100 plugins and they all work together, that's great. But, you know, let's say you only have 3 plugins and you install the fourth one crashes your site. I mean, it only takes one.
I'll chime in. Can I chime in here too for a second?
Sure.
It's not you guys are talking about the plugins during upgrade. Well, it doesn't fire all those hooks during the upgrade process. So let's just say 100 plugins fired, plugins loaded. It doesn't fire that during the upgrade process. It fires that after the upgrade process is complete. So those plugins aren't actually doing most of what they're doing. And I'll say this as, you know, it's funny I didn't meet you, Jeff, last year in San Francisco because Bob Dunn and I were kind of WordCamp buddies. We had a hotel next to each other and seemed to share every cab to and from these hotels. And my first experience with Jeff in person was WordCamp Miami this year, where he walked up to me in front of a group of people and says, "You're the guy whose plugin made all these sites crash."
Jeff, that doesn't sound like you at all.
He was right. When I launched 4.0, we spent about a week there where we had a pretty major bug that did cause a lot of problems. We can't, you know, any given plugin can be that plugin. But during the update process, it's a little bit different because all those plugins aren't firing all those hooks that would normally cause issues.
Okay.
And that's a very big difference to think about. Now, this isn't to discredit Bob's upgrade. What I'd be curious to see on Bob's upgrade on the next, oh, say half hour worth of page loads, what changed. But the upgrade process itself is fairly benign as far as plugin issues making themselves known.
Hmm. Well, I have to keep that in mind. Maybe he can do an experiment number 2 with maybe some more in-depth research or something like that. But I don't know. It's still cool to see.
It's totally cool to see. And I had the same reaction. I'm like, damn, that's a lot of plugins going, you know, being upgraded at the same time. But then I stopped and thought, well, let's see what happens the next time he loads the front page that isn't cached.
Yeah. So Flywheel Host, speaking of servers and everything else, Flywheel Hosting has secured $1.2 million in funding, which is really cool. The company has been around for about 2 years now, a year to 2 years. I've heard nothing but great things, both in person and reading comments online from Flywheel Hosting. Dusty Davidson, CEO of Flywheel, he's and his team there at Flywheel Hosting are doing a great job. And they really got something going there with their hosting company. Now, Flywheel, their clients, their customers are in the design area, so they have these different they concentrate on that segment of the market, the designers, and designers have, you know, design agencies, and they make things really easy for agencies to use their service for to host their clients on. And they just have A1 support, and they're doing a really good job, so it's just congrats to those guys. And they also introduced some tiered pricing levels, so that's pretty neat. But congrats to them. And Chris or Marcus, have you had any experience with Flywheel Hosting yet?
I have. I love them. And I use them once for a client project, and the nice thing about that is that when I was done with my staging, and even though I was the one that signed up, the handoff as far as the exchange of billing and payment information to, you know, right to the client so they could take over as far as the billing was seamless. So you knew that they had thought that out ahead of time as far as being a designer, and that being one of the obstacles that you frequently run into is you have to go and set things up for clients and then hand it off. So they really thought that one out. So I'm a fan of the model that they've got, and I wish them nothing but success, and hopefully they can use this cool 1.2 mil and develop some really cool services.
I haven't used them yet myself. I've used WP Engine. I've GoDaddy, one of the big GoDaddy WordPress reps just moved to Austin last week. So I've been talking with them and I'm frankly very impressed with what they've done. I've used a couple other services. Rackspace is talking about the space and various functions with their cloud sites. So I've used so many of them. Not Flatwheel directly, but I really like the feedback I've heard. I don't do client sites. I just haven't had the opportunity to use them yet.
Yeah, GoDaddy, since you brought it up, is making a huge play in managed WordPress hosting.
And as we predicted, as you and I sort of broke the story, I think, to me. And as you and I predicted, I think everybody knew it was going to happen. They were going to come in and just, hey, we're going to have the cheapest price. And I think out of all the managed hosting, WordPress managed hosting companies out there, they have the cheapest price. I think it's like, what, $6 a month or something?
Right. And it's fast.
They have other offerings as well. You guys might want to talk to, maybe this is a future show, but I'll be happy, Jeff, to put you in touch with Bendel, who is their rep. And he lives a couple blocks from me, so that's how I got to know him.
Well, get over there and get him. We'll get
Maine. But it's interesting to hear their...
Go get in the car and drive over there and bring him on the show.
It's interesting to hear their position with some of it and some of the... Yeah, we got to see the mistake. You know, it's almost like Apple. We get to see what everybody else did wrong with, you know, Apple iPhone 6, all the Android folks coming up and going, oh, we had NFC in 2012. Yeah, but you couldn't use it anywhere. You know, it's just interesting to see that dichotomy. And for a company that gets such a bad rep, I can't use – I quit GoDaddy when I was freelancing. I thought I would hit the jackpot. I was going to have six-figure-plus contract. And I bought their domains on GoDaddy, and it was an environmental organization who went, wait, this guy was hunting endangered elephants.
Oh, yeah. Bob Parsons, the former CEO.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was – wow. I mean, I was very jaded for the longest time. But look at this. They got a solid product. I've played with it. Now I'm completely bringing away from Flywheel. So let's go back to Flywheel. Because those guys, I mean, everything I've seen, I've yet to see a complaint. Yeah, I'm one of the admins of Advanced WordPress on Facebook and some of these other groups I participate in where they talk about, and the only posts you seem to see about hosts are bitching. But Flywheel actually seems to get some accolades, and people are like, oh, them and SiteGround are the two that everybody are like, yeah, go check them out. They're worth it. So I would check them out in a heartbeat.
I just hope that, you know, WP Engine, they're still one of the top hosts in terms of managed WordPress hosting. They have a ton of clients, but they've, over the past, I'd say, 2 or 3 years, they've gone through some very rough growing pains. I mean, there was a time there where the who's who of WordPress was using and recommending WP Engine. They ended up going through a massive growth phase, which I think contributed to some of their problems in terms of service interruptions, customer experience, support, including that big article. I think it was written, maybe it might have been earlier this year or late last year, that pretty much outlined, he detailed the pretty much horrible support experience that he had with WP Engine, and then WP Engine sort of followed up his post with the post of their own saying growth is hard. And I'm hoping that, you know, Flywheel with this funding does a good job of managing their growth. You know, don't grow too fast, but then again, don't grow too slow, but being able to manage it so that you have the people in place to maintain that superb quality level of support that everybody just raves about them for.
That's a very good point. But remember, WP Engine kind of braved the path, if you will, for all these others. Mm-hmm. And as much as, I mean, you know, Chris Lemma a couple weeks ago had this post that he moved off of WP Engine.
And Pagely.
Into Pagely, which is another competitor. But if you know, reading between the lines of his post, it was a lot of the issues that other people were reporting that the back end was slow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is what it is. But WP Engine really, I mean, they blazed that path so thoroughly that all these others get to look at WP Engine and go, oh, where are they messing up? Well, this is what we'll fix. There is some of that. So bringing WP Engine into it, while relative, I almost have to, you know, I almost have to give them a buy on some of this, because where all these others are playing conservative, they're blazing it. You know, W. Pigeon's big in Austin, so I know a lot of folks there. I mean, true disclosure.
And they also have that new WP Engine Labs department to sort of get back to innovating. And Tomas is doing a great job with the labs, and it's very cool that the release, at least they have something where they're all experimenting or they're trying out new things to continue to innovate their service. So I give them props for that.
I was a big on their bandwagon of they were more marketing than tech. When Austin Gunter left, I really thought they were done for, because they seemed to be, for the longest time, WP Engine seemed to be all marketing and all bark, no bite. But they, yeah, with labs and with some other things, they have done a really good job. And to compare them, to compare them to Flywheel or Pagely, Flywheel and Pagely get to take a very conservative, hey, look, that guy did that. Oh, let's not do that now. So there is definitely a distinction between the two.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Absolutely. So one of the last stories I wanted to get to is that the WordPress theme review team is launching a mentoring program. This is really cool. The WordPress.org theme review team has put out a call for mentors last week, and the mentoring program will pair new reviewers with those who have experience. So they made an announcement on make that WordPress.org themes website. Tammy Lister, who is a theme review team admin, describes it as sort of like a buddy system to help onboard new reviewers. So I've heard, going through the review process, I've heard from some folks that it could take a few weeks. For some, it almost takes a few months, just because they need more hands, they need more eyeballs. The theme review guidelines are pretty in-depth and thorough. And so when they do these checks and they review these themes, they have to go through all the code, make sure things are done a certain way. It's a lot more than just reviewing a couple functions or filters in a plugin file. There's a lot more to it with the theme. So I think this is a great program. And also kudos to Automattic, because they're allowing Tammy Lister to work on the theme review team to help get the queue levels down. She's working on that 2 to 3 days a week, so that's sort of Automattic's way of contributing, again, to the WordPress.org project by allowing her to work on the theme review team section of WordPress.org. So just an overall cool program. If you're interested in becoming a member of the theme review team or just want to learn more about the process, definitely look into the mentoring program. And hopefully we start to see more mentoring programs like this throughout the WordPress project itself. Maybe even plugin reviews, or especially WordPress Core. You know, that would be neat. And I think there's been some work done to get a mentoring program for WordPress Core. I'd have to check in on it. And I know Jen Milo was spearheading that effort. I'm not sure the progress of that, but even that would be pretty cool. So,
yeah, Mark, if they had a plugin review team like that, I'm in.
Well, there's gatekeepers for the plugins, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's Pippin.
I think, yeah, there's Pippin, Mika, Otto, also known as Samuel Wood, and Scott Riley.
Scott
Riley.
This is for all you plugin developers. This is your Christmas list.
Yeah, well, my only complaint about Jeffro's whole plug there was themes over plugins. You know, it's important in themes. I would even say it's more important plugins, but hey, you know,
yeah.
I'm clearly biased on this.
No, not that it's more important. It's just with the theme, you look at the guidelines. I mean, you got to have link titles this way. You got to have design this, well, not design, but you got to have functionality this way. You got to adhere to all these guidelines, where you don't see this big thorough list of guidelines for plugins.
You're right.
The lack of the guidelines is exactly what creates the need more for these reviewers on the plugin side.
Yeah, I can see it for themes, though, because it's an aesthetic type of a thing. You know, you want to make sure that it has a particular flow and style to it that doesn't look hokey and and clunky as far as the way that it operates, and that it's not a theme that's completely built out of widgets. You know, that it has some internal functionality to it.
All short codes.
The one short code homepage, that's it.
So speaking of the theme review team, I think since there are its inception, the program, I think they've done a wonderful job. You know, it used to be the WordPress theme directory was filled with lackluster designs, poorly coded things. You'd switch themes and things would break. Thanks to these guidelines and the theme review team to make sure that there's compatibility amongst all the themes that are now entered into the directory, just some of the designs that have gone into the repo lately have been really nice, very stellar looking designs. I mean, for free looking WordPress themes, and I'm just happy to see and say thank you to all the volunteers helping to maintain and up the quality level, both on in terms of code and design aesthetics on the WordPress Outer repo.
Yeah, there's some. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there's some new themes that are coming out. There's themes that I've seen that a couple years ago I would have paid $500 for that theme.
There's some good stuff out there in themes. Yeah. You know, I guess I feel bad because I don't mean to discredit the theme side. I think it's great. In fact, I think the theme side has gone farther towards standards than the plugin side. And that's a blessing and a curse. The plugin guys, you know, I look at some of those plugins and go, oh my good Lord, how did that even happen? Well, they updated it 3 updates after it was reviewed and whatever it might be.
Yeah, and then you've got sort of community-led efforts of the standard custom post types through plugins, and there's other efforts ongoing. But again, it's just sort of the community, you know, grabbing the bull by the horn, so to speak, to see if they can't themselves change the way things are in the landscape, where it just right now it's the Wild West. Do it the way you know how, or that works for you. And you know, and you know, that's I don't. This is open source. I mean, once you start, where's that line in the sand where you have guidelines or you have standards, and that sort of takes away this whole nature of open source or innovation? It's sort of a gray line there, isn't there?
Well, I say we just do it with ratings. You know, like they do with games or television shows. Or even, you know, apps. It's got in-app purchases or things like that. You know, premium upgrade available. Why don't we have something like that where it's a simple structure within plugins or themes or things like that that identifies that this is just a precursor or a light version, so to speak, of what we're really supposed to be getting.
I'll go with Marcus a little bit, let the audience decide, but there also can be standards without breaking open source. Open source just says anybody can get to the code. It doesn't say that it has no item at all as far as what the standards of those code are. How right. My previous plugin ever got into the .org and made it where it was is a miracle unto itself, because I was a Drupal developer, and, well, yeah, we could go into the issues forever. But how it got in with the way I coded into things, I didn't use any hooks or functions or actions. I just rewrote things. It worked. But there's no reason that there didn't have some standards that said, hey, moron, do this our way. Oh, okay.
Yeah, or you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you programmed based off of Drupal stuff?
Dude, this is my iThemes job, which just started in December. This plugin, keep in mind, is 4 years old, my own plugin.
Yeah.
I just started iThemes in December. This is my first ever WordPress job.
Oh, my God. It's like knowing that you've got alien DNA in your body. Oh,
I was an airline captain.
Drupal on it.
So let's go back 4 years, back to 2010. This is the sort of beginnings of better WordPress security. Tell us at that point in your life, what were you doing? What was your job?
I was working. I got to even go back a little bit further than that to kind of make this even make any sense. I was an airline captain until 2007. I had a class date with Horizon Airlines and a couple of other offers of class dates with or airlines like SkyWest and some of these that would have paid me like $15,000 a year. And then my alma mater called, which I went to college for aviation, and they said, hey, do you want to – I was a student worker fixing their computers. They said, do you want to do this again, like full-time? You can get any degree you want. We'll pay for the degree, so on and so forth. I said, well, now we're talking. So I shifted careers. Now, move on a couple of years later, come 2010, I had been doing – like my whole thing was – my official title was – land system specialist, which was supposed to be basically fixing desktops. I had 100-something faculty, 300 students, a whole bunch of servers. And then the big thing was they had no digital marketing. There was no web. There was no communications between any of these people other than, hey, let me walk over to your office and talk to you. Nothing was digital. So I was totally all about the web. So I had actually started this as a student worker writing a content management system for them. I wrote an ASP Classic back in 2000. Come 2007, I finally migrated it to PHP. And come 2010, I said, this is just stupid. I'm not going to rewrite this thing again for what's new. There's other things out there. So I did a whole big review of content management systems and built it in Drupal. And that was their main website. Hmm. In fact, that site was just pulled down a couple months ago.
But on the flip side, Drupal 5, Drupal 6?
Drupal 6, right as it came out. But on the flip side of that, that was their main website, but there was all these little things like if you go to weather.aviation.siu.edu or all these little side sites that were, you know, all this information that didn't pertain to their outside audience, such as safety information, weather information that students need to plan. Are they going to fly today? What's the weather doing? Here's the details. All these little sites. It's like, well, Drupal doesn't make any sense for that because I'll spend a week just putting up each little freaking individual Drupal site. WordPress MU just hit 2.9 in that time. So I went with WordPress. Well, actually, it was before 2.9. I went with WordPress MU and launched that. So there was that. So now I have two sites. I'm maintaining WordPress and Drupal, mostly Drupal. And all these other sites on campus were getting hacked. They were all Joomla. Campus had a central web team that had no budget. I don't know the background of the people, but no budget at all, no real ability to keep up with things. And every department was a web presence up to itself. And here we were ahead of what campus was doing, so we were getting threats of, I remember a call from the head of campus communications. You guys are doing quite a bit. We'd hate to pull you back just because, because we couldn't keep up is what it was.
Oh, making it look bad.
So all these sites were getting hacked. I'm like, well, if we're hacked, we're done. That can't happen. If we're hacked, all these sites, campus is going to take them all over. It's a politics play. I got to stop this. So I started on the WordPress side. I had like 20-something plugins just for security. I had limit login lockdowns and hide this and hide that and limit this. Oh, I don't even remember all of them. And I said, I got to do something better. So the better WP security was literally my attempt to do something better. I started putting a lot of those initially because they were all GPL. I copied a lot of code. And within about 6 months, I think I completely – I don't think I even have a quote back to anybody because I don't think there's a line in that code that comes back from any of the plugins anymore. Well, I mean, you learn different ways of doing it. I mean, their approaches to things just didn't scale when you started stacking together all these features is what it came down to. So I rewrote the whole damn thing, reinvented the wheel far more times than probably I should have. And the thing took off. When I left Southern Illinois in January of 2012, I had 10,000 downloads. By South by Southwest, in fact, I was just talking about it before this this podcast because we were joking because that's when I gave up Android because my Android phone crashed the day my plugin hit 50,000 downloads, which was at South by Southwest. And the Android fanboys were like, oh, we're going to fix this. They couldn't fix it. I've been an iPhone ever since. Another story.
Now, tomorrow, now the, uh,
The campus, what you were in charge for was never hacked, thanks to your Better WordPress security. But just before you left, the main campus's websites were, right?
Yeah, we were never hacked. It was October. I was sitting at a bar. Go figure. And I get a call from the head.
That's not you. Imagine that.
The acting head of campus IT says, "Hey, can we borrow you for a bit?" I said, "Yeah, I'll talk to my department chair if it's a day or two." He says, "No, we're going to need longer than that." I said, what's your time frame? We're going to need you till February. Wait, okay, what's going on? Well, we were hacked. How bad were you hacked? Like, I mean, the gist of what he told me was basically everything they had at malware in it.
Oh.
And, whatever. But I didn't go over there. I left campus a couple months later and went to work for St. Edward's University. Redeveloped this plugin. To make a long story short, this plugin's been kind of a passion of mine. Where I've always noticed a weakness, you know, the plugin's not geared toward every technique in the book. It's geared to securing all the best practices. I'm not trying to secure your network. I'm not trying to secure your server. I'm trying to secure all the stuff that when you install WordPress tends to be overlooked. It did so well. I mean, last year it did $25,000 in just donations. It wasn't a
$5,000 in donations. Wow.
I couldn't, but the problem with that was I couldn't keep up with it.
As far as support or updates?
I had a choice. I was working 40 hours a week. I could spend another 40 or 50 just doing support. I could spend time on top of that just doing new features, or I could redevelop things. And that's when Matt Cromwell from Advanced WordPress and Foo Plugins and Adam Warner. I met Adam Warner at WordCamp Miami 2013. And he hooked me up. He says, "Hey, look, we're about to launch this. We're looking for plugins to launch." I said, "Yeah, let's put better WP security on it and sell support. That'll get me out of the support because I'll only do support that people are paying for."
And this is your way to contract out, sort of outsource the support for your plugin, right?
More importantly, this is my way of reducing my support load.
Yeah.
At least for me at the time. And by that went great. By October of last year, I couldn't even keep up with that. I just couldn't. So I Matt Cromwell said he'd do it. So I gave him almost all the profit and said, "It's all yours." And at the same time, I found Corey. And Corey, you know, they got Backup Buddy. They got Exchange. So they've got what's one big part of security is backups. And what are we trying to back up? We're trying to back up people's businesses. What are we trying to secure? We're trying to secure people's businesses. Well, Exchange was that entire other half of the equation. So I said, "Look, let's," Corey too said, "Look, let's make this work together." And that's exactly what we did.
Just before you met Corey, you couldn't even, you didn't have the time. You couldn't even keep up. I mean, you offloaded the support, but then there were people reporting bugs, and there were other maybe security plugins coming up with new features, and you pretty much ran out. You were working and doing these things on the side. You didn't have any time to continue development, right?
Let's put it this way. Last fall, I was working full-time for an agency who actually did very good, and they were the second bidders up next to Corey, with the exception that they didn't have Backup Buddy and Exchange. If Corey hadn't come through, I would have sold to Springbox, which was the agency I was working for last fall, because they were a bunch of stand-up folks that simply just didn't have the products to go along with it. But I was working full-time for them. I was teaching a college course. My first semester as an adjunct at St. Edward's University in computer science, they were pretty happy with me, and they gave me my own course. Kind of unheard of as an adjunct. So last fall, I was teaching my own course, which is, that's 20, 30 hours a week by the time you get to grading lesson plans, working full-time, and doing this plug-in and everything. Yeah, I was drowning. I was at the end of my rope. I was just drowning. So, Corey coming in really saved my butt.
Now, the way you write the story on your personal blog, I think he was using Better WordPress Security and he had a problem and he was contacting you for support. Is that how he met you and is sort of the conversation from support turned into how can we make this work with iTeams products or something like that?
Pretty close. He did have a support issue. However, he didn't contact me for the support issue. He contacted me. It might have been either after he removed the plugin or something, but he didn't actually contact me on the support issue. I don't know if he solved it or removed the plugin in the meantime.
Or you never got back to him because you were so backlogged.
That might be. I'll
interject here. You know, Jeff and I have talked to, you know, over the course of the last 6 weeks or so, a lot of, you know, guys that are just like you that have developed a plugin, you know, pretty much from scratch or necessity, and that's the one element they never think about ahead of time is the support burden that's going to go with it. I mean, I almost, you know, there's that show You Think You Can Dance. It's almost like you want to have this thing, you think you want to make a plugin? Here's what you need to know. You know, were you shocked by the level of support that was required in this thing when it was just you kind of trying to make a cool plugin?
Well, let's put it this way. An average plugin is downloaded, 1,000 times? Jeff, you might be able to answer that better. What's an average plugin download?
I don't know. Some of them are still under 1,000 downloads. I'd say that's just a good figure to roll with.
Okay. Yeah. Let's say it's 1,000 downloads. When I hit 1,000,000 downloads, that's when I went, oh, shit, I'm screwed. at 1,000 downloads, I could keep up with it. At 50,000 downloads, I was keeping up with it. I was teaching at St. Ed's, and I had a full-time job at that time at St. Ed's. It was kind of rolling in together at 50,000. The problem is scale. You know, most of us put together a plugin that does X awesome feature. It's going to do X better than ever anybody. But nobody gives a shit about X. So they get a 500 downloads.
We want Y.
I hit Y, and I got lucky with Y. And it is luck. I mean, it was literally, I didn't set out to be a security guy. I set out to scratch my own itch, as so many folks would say. And my itch just happened to be, in the last couple years, a really, really, like, horrible rash for a lot of people.
But, so you end up selling better WordPress security, you join to iThemes, and it becomes a new product, iThemes Security, and then you end up working, you become an employee. You have your first WordPress job of iThemes as the lead developer of iThemes Security, and you just released there's a big feature that was just added to the plugin, and it now protects users from brute force login attempts, something listeners of the show will recognize as we had Sam Hotchkiss of Brute Protect on a few weeks ago with a plugin in the service that did a similar thing. So tell us, what was the inspiration behind this feature, and how does it work? Because I know it also has a network-wide protection ability similar to...
Sure. Well, let me go back and first say, good derailment. What's that mesh you completely brought into another subject very well? no, but in all seriousness, what we're doing right now, it's very simple at the moment. We're looking across our network. And you know, we've been out live for, what, maybe 28 hours as I'm speaking this. And when I last heard 6 hours ago, we had over 8,000 sites signed up for this.
Opted in. It's 8,000 sites opted into network-wide protection, right?
8,200 when I last heard this, which was about 6 hours ago. And the idea here is the local brute protect, or brute force protect, is you can set where it locks people out. But let's say you set it at 5 bad login attempts. It blocks people from the whole site. So we just assume they're trying to get near sites, so it blocks them from the whole thing. There's a very valid reason for that. But what happens, so you've seen, let's say that is a valid attacker. So then they go on to the next site and they try to get in it. And then they go on to the next site. So we've, just like what Brute Protect did from day one, they took the opposite and did this from day one. So we say, let's look at this across our entire network and say, you know, Jeff's trying to break into sites. We see him trying to break into 30 sites. So we're going to go ahead and not block them from the whole site, but we're going to make sure that all logins are disabled. They can't log into anything. And that's really what we're doing with the network is at the moment. It's trying to preempt that. Instead of just looking at 5 attempts at your own site, it looks across our entire network and says, oh, you're a jerk. You've tried to get into this site already, or 16 other sites already, and we're going to stop you there. So it can really reduce resource usage. But on more importantly, rather than trying to guess that, oh, well, you're just somebody who entered your password wrong, if you've had enough attempts to block yourself on our network, you're doing something wrong there. You're not doing that from one site. You know, you've already gone onto a second site. Something's wrong there. So that's why we're going to block you, which is exactly what Brute Protect had done. They're using the network.
It's the village mentality, right? Everybody gangs together. It's like the neighborhood watch.
Correct. Village mentality, gang mentality, however you want to refer to it. We're just using the power of the community to say, hey, he's a jerk. Don't even let him into this club.
I mean, looking at this problem, I think doing it network-wide and using all the data from other websites to protect everybody that's participating in this in the network, I just think that makes total sense. I think that is the way that this type of protection mechanism should work. I mean, it's a big problem. For the longest time, limit login attempts was the most popular suggestion to protect people's sites from this. But unfortunately, is it similar to how local protection works in iTheme security?
We're the best of both. Okay. Limit login attempts is also a very valid plugin. What they do is spot on. PerProtect is a very valid plugin. What they do is spot on. In the case of limit login attempts, so Jeff's been trying to hack into 30 sites. We see him right away. We can block him. On the flip side, what if the network's down? What if they can't get to PerProtect? So we do both. We have the option of both the network and the local. So if the network's down or some other, whatever hang-up it might be, that they can't see that issue's happened on other sites, we'll block them. For instance, we'll probably block you locally before we block you network-wide. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly how it should be. Stop dealing with the resources, block them on the whole site, and the next time the guy tries to log in onto a site, oh, well, clearly this guy's doing something wrong, so let's just block him across the network from logging in. Don't need to block him from the front end. So there's a good comment. What we're doing is a little bit different. You know, basically, we've taken Brute Protect and limit login attempts, combined them, and we're doing both. We're doing it across both sides to make sure that every site gets what they need when they need it.
Well, when you explain it like that, and the local protection acts as a fallback to the network-wide protection, that's a very cool service. That's a very cool way of implementing the protection.
I will tell you that if you have local protection on, and let's say you just keep hammering away at my site, that's the only site you've hit from your IP, I'll block you locally first. That's how it should be. And then we look at you from a network. Now, you come back to my site when your local block is over and you can try again. Well, then the network can register and just keep seeing that. But we don't even need to bother these other network sites unless you've proven yourself to be a nuisance. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of been able to combine the two of those together and really make something fairly quickly that can really benefit the community from a different angle.
And one of the big differences between Brute Protect, which was acquired and will be a part of Jetpack, is that when the integration is complete, Jetpack will auto-activate the Brute Protect module. As long as Jetpack's activated, when the upgrade occurs, the protection will be activated by default. iTheme Security takes things a different route, where users have to actually opt in to the network-wide protection. Why did you make that conscious decision to do that?
Well, I'll first point out that if you're using Jetpack and iTheme Security, we will actually disable Jetpack's version of this.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Well, I'm pointing that out because there will be no conflicts. So
yeah, I mean, obviously, way to do it. There's so many people using Jetpack, and it's on so many sites. You wouldn't want to put yourself in a corner to where you can't use your plugin on all those sites with Jetpack, so I can understand that.
People can still use us, but why do you need... I mean, all of us have to... You know, we have to send data, or we have to read data. That takes time. So why double up the effort if we're all both doing the same thing? So if you're using Jetpack and us, we're not going to double up the effort. We're going to disable Jetpack's use of this of their Protect module, and you're going to use iTheme Security.
Okay, so I'm glad you made that distinction for the listeners out there. So you don't have to completely disable Jetpack, right? It's
no,
just
not at all. We're just going to disable that module so it's not...
Right.
And it's not basically, you know, if you are on Joe Blow's hosting that gives you no memory, we're not going to waste it on you, what you have. Now, what Jeff was asking is, why do we opt in? And there's two reasons for that. And I'm friends with George. I really respect George, and I really respect Jetpack's position, but I don't agree with opt in on anything. I don't like anybody telling me, well, this is what you should use. That's me. That's my position. Jetpack's taken a very different approach, and I respect that. The second part is, whereas Jetpack has a lot of responsibilities in different areas, from SEO to performance to short codes to spell check to you name it, whereas Jetpack takes a very wide kitchen sink to many, many areas, we're solely focused on security. And as our sole focus is on security, part of security is privacy. We very much respect the privacy. You know, we do ask for your email, but even when we ask for your email to activate, we give you the option to opt in or opt out of emails about WordPress security. So you don't even have to. Now, now the reason we're using your email, that's a unique identifier that we can associate with your site and yada, 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 but we're not sharing that email. We're not using that email unless you give us permission. And the bulk of it is your privacy is paramount. Your privacy is part of your security. And we will not jeopardize that.
That's a good policy.
So it comes from, and this is not a knock on Jetpack, it just comes from we're secure. You know, I like Jeffro's post today on where the Jetpack is security.
Well, I can let me explain that because I already saw some people in the comments were like, "Well, I don't see what are you talking about?" Because Jetpack's all this and iTheme Security is all that. And what I'm talking about is you look at Jetpack; it's one plugin, but it gives you all these modules, which are features in their own right. And the comparison is, or the similarity is that iTheme Security could be the Jetpack of WordPress security plugins, where it's one plugin, but all the different security protection mechanisms you have in place could each be a module, and then you could even add modules for, let's say, to easily connect to outside services or sync or do things that way. And the only thing missing right now from what I see is the user interface and the modules and to manage all those. That's where the similarity comes in between Jetpack and iTheme Security.
And you're right on. And in fact, last year when I started, and I started the rewrite, the current iTheme Security last year, April, well before I came onto iThemes. So when I first came onto iThemes, I spent 4 months just rewriting the hell out of the back end. And, you know, there were all the issues with that was their first plugin acquisition. It was huge. So all the issues with all my time was spent trying to make the back work, and I still messed it up when it came to hide back end. That was the big bug when we launched. But, I mean, hey, man, I screwed up. I admit it. But, you know, and all that. But what we did, the real reason for that is it is modular. If you turn on any of the enabled features, you know, enable 404 detection, for example, or enable away mode, if that's off, on the front end of your site, it doesn't load anything. If you turn it on, it loads a class that handles the feature. So we are very modular. And I'm going to say we are somewhat more modular than Jetpack in that when you turn our features on or off, they actually do not load on the front end of the site. So they're not impacting performance at all. They're not impacting anything at all.
And see, I hesitate on the connotation of making the similarity with iTeam Security, the Jetpack, because obviously of the reputation it has, and there's a lot of Jetpack haters out there because there's all these modules and they load and you can't just shut them off and things load even though the modules are disabled and, you know, all this other complaints and stuff that people bring up. So, you know,
you just describe my view of Jetpack.
I think a safer description would just be to say it's a modular plugin, and I think we're going to get that way more and more as we get further down the line in WordPress.
Where I failed in the 4.0, minus the bugs when I first launched, and this is a lesson that both myself and iThemes are learning. As far, you know, biggest beta program either of us had ever had, it wasn't enough. Okay, so be it. We've moved on. But the bigger lesson here is the UI, because as I'm explaining the modularity to you here as I talk to you, that's a pretty big failure on my part as far as UI and UX. So we're working very hard right now to explain that, because frankly, Jetpack was a big inspiration for how they do that modularly, with my advantage where I didn't have the overhead already there, where I could say nothing needs to load front end. So I was able to make what they're working on step one, and my step two needs to be the UI. They did UI step one, and now they're going back and making the loading step two. So we're approaching it from different angles, but I respect the Jetpack folks quite a bit, because that's exactly what we are going for with security. Every single time you click enable X, whatever X is, whether it's 404, file change, whatever, a friend of mine, Victor, he's got a last name I can't pronounce, but he makes a plugin called What's Running. I challenge you to look at What's Running. Run it on your front page and run it with iTheme Security. Every time you turn on one of those features, it's going to run more files, which is another class to run that module. So I've gone quite far in order to eliminate that. And I think I've done a pretty good job as far as modularity. But nobody knows that because my UI sucks.
Looking forward to that. We have a question here in the chat room before we wrap things up here with the interview. And Jacob Smith, who says his site is one of the 8,000 you mentioned participating in the network-wide protection, and he wants to know, how does the network brute force protection work? Does his site call into the iThemes network and then update the .txt access file, or how does that work?
I'm actually looking at this question. What it does is on the first load, like when you log in, if the login is successful, it's gonna ping our network and say, hey, is this guy a problem or not? In other words, did he steal your password already or not? Is this part of a bigger attack? If the answer is yes, we're going to block you. You can't log in. If the answer is no, we're going to cache that for a variable length, depending on what we see on the network, typically an hour. You know, if it's a good login, we'll cache that for an hour. We're not even going to ask, we're never going to ask the network again. If you log out and log back in with that user account, we're not going to ask again and say, okay, you know, this is good. But basically what we're doing is we're asking on bad logins, we're going to the network and reporting that IP address and saying, hey, is this guy bad? Have we seen him doing this elsewhere? Or is this just I screwed up and mistyped my password? On the former, if it's a problem elsewhere, we're going to give you a variable length of time that says, hey, this looks like it might be a problem. Let's block it across the network for X number of minutes. Maybe we're seeing it on 1,000 sites. So then we're going to block them and say, let's return to the website. Hey, this guy is blocked. Let's block him. He's doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Let's block him for X amount of hours. So we have the ability to block variably based on how many sites and how many times we see you causing a problem. But, yeah, on every login, with the exception of the second good login, only the first good log. So if you log in good once, we're going to cache that, and we're not going to ask again for an hour. If you log in bad, we're going to ask the network and say, hey, is this guy good or is this guy bad? And we're going to block him accordingly. And that's really how that works.
And the fifth time, you're going to send a guy to their house with a big stick.
That's when you get the black helicopters over your house. Oh, wait, never mind. Corey wouldn't like me telling you that.
Awesome. So,
no, I think that's pretty deep. I mean, you know, oftentimes we don't really, in the way that you make a story of it like that, as far as, you know, looking at credentials and caching and stuff, that's pretty important because security plugins themselves are relatively boring in their context as far as, you know, what they do and how well.
You don't need us until you've been attacked.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, since you put it that way, it's what do you call that? Do you call that like community security? Would you call it swarm security? How do you identify that group that works together?
I call it crowdsourced security, personally.
There you go.
I don't know what, you know, you'd have to ask Sam Hodgkins. What, you know, he was in this space when I was just thinking about this space. And I've been thinking about it for a long time, but he was there. So you'd have to ask Sam. What I call it, crowdsourced security.
Awesome. With power of the sites, power of the community. So,
go far together, as Corey would say.
Go far together.
Or in the case of a hacker, don't go far together. I mean,
yeah. Just somebody needs to bring some beer. That's all I know.
So
yeah, I'm sorry. I'm seeing Jacob's post up here. It's not through HT access. It's just through PHP that we're blocking. So when you're blocked by the network, we're not trying to write to your files. We don't want to permanently block. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe it was a college class where you had 40 students logging into the same multi-site with the wrong ID because it's the first week of class.
Well, happened at WordCamp, Buddy Camp Miami this year, where everybody tried to log into the demo site and the web host thought it was some brute force attack going on.
I miss Buddy. I wasn't at Buddy Camp, but I've seen this on the college side where, you know, journalism 301, whatever it might be, gives out 100 passwords to the same site, and they all try to log in at the same time. On local blocking, that would block them, rightfully. Network blocking, you're getting 100, you know, 100 different IP, or let's say it's one IP because it's NAT, you know, network access, or I can't think of the acronym right now, but they're all going to the same IP trying to log in badly to the same site at the same time. That's a problem. We don't want to put that in a permanent file. So we're just blocking them from logging in, and that's it.
So before we wrap it up here, one last question for you. Sort of since you're in this space now and you have one of the most popular plugins dealing with security and protecting users' websites, can you sort of take a step back and give me your sort of overview of what you're seeing in terms of WordPress and security in general? I mean, are you just seeing just an uptick of attacks, threats, things of that nature that you're working on, you know, always improving iTheme security to protect against? Or
I wouldn't refer to it as an uptick more than an evolution. You know, okay. We're actually talking with some very prominent developers right now about what features maybe we can take out of the plugin. Because what was relevant 3 years ago, due to changes in WordPress itself and changes in tags, but more to changes in WordPress itself, simply aren't relative anymore. And the evolution is constant. Either an uptick in number of attacks, well, there are an uptick in number of attacks in the same way there's an uptick in the population. The more people that get on the web, the more, you know, let's say it's 1% of all people are hackers. Well, if you go from 1 billion people to 2 billion people on the web, you've gone from, you know, what is it, 1 million to 2 million hackers. I mean, just for a really base case there. That said, we will continue to focus on the security of the application. Security does a very, very, very good job of focusing on the security of the network. They want to block your attack before it gets to the application. They do a good job. They can't catch everything. On the flip side, they can't catch, you know, you give your secretary an account who sets the username admin and the password as password, and now you're screwed. because
you shouldn't be using that. What?
Yeah, exactly. So we're focusing on that level. We're not focusing on what the securities of the world can block, because they can be very effective. We're focusing on primarily the application, but more importantly, what it takes to be the best part. You know, what it takes to secure the application itself, which is a lot of best practices. A lot of that is plugins and themes.
Where do you see a lot of these attacks originating from, as far as region, country, things like that?
It varies. I think lately it's been like Russian states, Ukraine, China is always a big target.
Jeff's house.
Ohio. Anyway, no, in all seriousness, though, I don't think it's the location so much that matters. It's the vector that which they attack the application that matters. We are going to add GeoIP blocking for the simple fact that if you're selling office space in Akron, Ohio, somebody from China doesn't have any business on that site. It's just that simple.
Yeah, most likely.
Most likely. But it's that most likely that I've always avoided that feature, quite honestly, because you never know that maybe somebody in China is looking to build a battery plant in Akron, Ohio, and does need the space. And that's why I've always avoided that feature. What I'm more interested in is if they're pinging, you know, let's say MailPoet, and I'm kind of hesitant to bring up MailPoet, but they did have a big hack. They handled it, in my opinion, they fixed it. They did well. There is disputes about the disclosure, and that's a whole other topic. But let's say they changed the file name from MailPoet, so it went from xyz.php to just yz.php. So they moved it. So I'll look for that xyz, and I'll block people that are looking for that. I'm looking more for the least common denominator. I'm not trying to block targeted attacks against your site. That's not the point of a plugin going after the application. I'm trying to block every frickin' Joe Schmo kitty hacker, you know, script kitty that's making a bot that goes after your site. And I'm very effective at that. And that's really what we're going after with iTheme Security.
I just Stephen Cronin in the chat room says, hey, I used to live in China. That explains things.
No Akron office furniture for you.
You know, I partner with WP Security Lock. Regina Smola, who does a great job. All she does is clean sites. She doesn't do the network protection like security. She just does cleaning and then training. And I've had a couple people email me back and says, hey, I followed your referral code, and I'm in X country, you know, somewhere in God only knows where. But I can't get to her site. It redirected me to some strange YouTube video. She redirected everybody back to a YouTube video. And that's why.
Oh, but was it Rick Astley never going to give you up? Rick Roll.
That's why I haven't. Yeah, that's part of why I hesitated on that feature, because you don't know where your business is going to come from. So it's hard to blanket. You know, like what some of my competitors do is just do some blanket statements. Okay. I can see the point for it, but I take the point against it, which is you never know where you never know where your business is coming from.
So BrewProtect, they had a in the dashboard, they showed you numbers and stats and things like that. Any plans to have an area in iTheme Security that visually shows you know how many attacks your site's been protected from or things of that nature?
Of course. We just launched the API yesterday. We have to get some people in there before we can.
Oh, okay.
Hurry up. We want to see numbers and needles and stuff flipping around. Let's go.
Numbers and needles are coming. What's probably not coming is like graphically displays of random attacks coming across the world, because that doesn't help you. Numbers helps people. That will be coming.
Awesome. So iTheme Security, a great product. I'm looking at it here locally on my local install here. It's very comprehensive. I'm looking forward to the UI revamp. And and really cool. Are you in a more comfortable position now that you can focus? I mean, you're being paid and you're an employee and you get to work on this full time. Is this sort of like
Do you wake up every day saying, yeah, I can't wait to work on iTeam security today? Or how does that work?
That's what I say.
I'm remote, which is only half of iThemes is remote. So I think I drive Corey and particularly Matt Danner nuts a bit, because my priorities and what I see aren't what they necessarily see from a business point of view. But I sold it to them because I don't have that business point of view. And it's all good. Yeah, there's definitely some at odds there. But, man, I'm loving it. You know, when we first did this first revamp, go back to it, download an old tag of 3.x, and you'll see why I needed to rebuild this thing. So we rebuilt it. It's modular now. Next step is the UI. You know, Corey and I were talking about that today. That's a pretty big project from my point of view because that's half of the rebuild. So, you know, 4 months was the first rebuild. So, you know, that's a couple-month project for me, which I don't think they're too fond of. But, I mean, you know, again, they have the expertise that I didn't have. So it's nice. I can finally look at this thing and go, hey, this is the next step it needed to take. And it's doing it. It got me on your show. I mean,
oh,
that to me.
Trust me, that doesn't take much. Yeah. Thanks, Marcus.
I'm already like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, every Wednesday morning, Marcus is like, okay, who's the guest on the show today? And I says, I don't know. I'll find out in 10 minutes. Let me go ask him.
Ouch. Right. Well, in that case, I guess that was a leftover today. I don't know which one of us
will do it. No, now, wait a second. You were the first person I thought of, so there's that. Right. So, Chris,
I think Corey and Matt nuts because I definitely approach it from a different angle than they do. But I think we're going in the right direction, and even if there's some speed bumps along the way, I think we're doing the right thing.
Well, you're doing a great job. iThemes is doing a great job. It's a solid product, and can't wait to see what you have up your sleeve for future iterations of the product. And, again, congratulations on how your story has sort of worked out so far. You're still writing chapters of it, but just great to read. I was telling Marcus, it's great to see a plugin author. I mean, Sam Hotchkiss was in a similar boat where he created a solution to a problem, and within a year or two, it's acquired or, you know, somebody else, a developer, sells it and ends up becoming much bigger than anything maybe they ever thought possible. So it's just great to see those stories, and I like to see more plugin authors publish stories like these if these events have happened to them, because I think they're inspirational. It's just a good read.
I want to see more too, man. I want to see people like Jeff Mattson out there doing his SMS. I think there's so much potential. And he sees the potential right up
there. Yeah, I think he's onto something with that WPSMS. And based on what I've had conversations with him, and he's gotten a lot of interest from other developers, plugins, and in terms of creating ways to hook into other plugins to generate events. And I think he's onto something there. I hope he continues full head of steam with it.
I only feel bad because he has to hook into security right away, and I said I don't have the hooks there for you. They're probably not going to be there for a few months, so he's ahead of me. He's doing really well.
So, how can we keep tabs on you and give us the URL to your blog so we can see what other stories you may have up your sleeve?
Sure, I blog at chriswigman.com, chriswigman.com. You can also find me on Twitter at chriswigman, chriswigman.
Chris, awesome job. Thanks a lot for being on the show. I know you have a very early flight tomorrow, and you know, this is we're still going here, except you're in Central Time, I believe, down in Austin. So
I hope you
get some sleep, and hope you don't sit next to a crying baby on the plane.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate being here. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Marcus.
And that was Chris Wigman, lead developer of iTheme Security. Great guy. If you ever get a chance to meet with him at a WordCamp, definitely go up to him, shake his hand. Really cool guy, very approachable. And
Dallas,
like I said,
or Rhode Island. If you're in Dallas or Rhode Island,
hey, you were supposed to leave the show. I didn't know you were still here. Okay, WordCamp Dallas or WordCamp Rhode Island. WordCamp Dallas. That's the weekend of October 4th and 5th. Tickets for that are gone. So that event's already been sold out. And when's WordCamp Rhode Island?
Week before Dallas. I think there's still a few tickets left.
Awesome. So Google WordCamp Rhode Island and buy a ticket, buy a plane ticket, buy a venue ticket, and then do it all just to go see and visit Chris and shake his hand.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
No problem. So, Marcus, what do you say we wrap up this very long but informative, great discussion with your plug-in picks of the week, which, by the way, we've received some feedback from listeners, and they really enjoy your plug-in picks of the week and how we highlight them in the show notes. And like I said, people just love plug-ins. So, what do you got for us this week?
All right, well, one thing in particular that I loved that just came out is called Google Drive Media Library. It's a plugin that connects your Google Drive account to your WordPress Media Library. So it allows you to use one common Google Drive to store your photos and your documents and PDFs and videos and all that kind of stuff on all of your related sites. So if you've got a network of sites and you want to hook Google Drive Media Library up to all of them into one central Google Drive, it's a really great way to do it, because oftentimes, I know this is the case for me, people email me stuff, images and things like that, to put on their site. And if you have Gmail, you can just click Save to Google Drive. Well, if you hook this into it, then it's already there in your media library, literally on your entire network of sites. So it's a great way to kind of store things. I only now use my Google Drive for this purpose. I have a separate account that I grab all my email and put it all in, and this works great.
That's pretty nice. So it's like a way to back up your media.
Exactly. And it's easy access. And again, it's something that if you don't want to let clients in the back end of WordPress or to upload media files or things like that, or you know, you don't want to download them from email, then have to upload them again into the media library, this is a really quick, one-click solution to get rid of all that. The next one is Speech Bubble. This is pretty cool. This is just like Skype chats or maybe texting. It has these little icons that represent people, and you actually get to do this within posts. So, Jeff, if you or I were having kind of a conversation and I wanted to document what you said and then what I said and then what you said and what I said, you can do this within short codes, and it has these little people that come up with these big speech bubbles, and then you can just put that within your post. There's 9 different combinations as far as your conversation bubble styles, and you can mix and match them into the post. You can use them all at the same time if you wish, so it's really versatile. It's really just kind of a fun way to display conversations or quotes within posts.
I mean, that makes sense. If you, I'd have to check it out. But I wonder if you can label those speech bubbles so people know who's saying what.
Yeah, and it would be fun to actually change the speech bubbles. I didn't see that function in this plugin. And obviously, you could hack your way through it to be custom, so that if it could use your maybe gravatar and then my gravatar or Twitter
icon. Yeah, that would be neat.
Something like that. That would be pretty cool. And then finally, well,
this one's named after you.
It's not named after me, but darn it, it sure helps to get some airtime. If you name your plugin WP Couch Mode after my last name, it's a handy plugin that provides a clean reading layout at the tap of just one button around your content area. It's much like reader mode in the Safari browser, or like sometimes you'd see those print mode style posts where you just click the print button if they had it, and then it would take them to another page that was completely clean and free of sidebars and widgets and advertising.
So it's like a front-end version of distraction-free writing?
Absolutely. That's a perfect analogy for it. Thank you very much. The bonus of it is it actually does have a print button, too. So maybe they've just fooled us and made a print plugin and called it something else. But either way, it gives your reader just a one push of a button way to read your posts in a distractless way without obstruction as far as any sidebars or ads or anything like that.
That's pretty cool, and I bet you something like that would come in handy for definitely in like mobile view, so you get rid of all the cruft and you just see the text.
Yeah, or get rid of their...
But I bet a lot of sites that, you know, need advertising display the ads, they're not installing this thing.
No, definitely not. But people that care about getting reads, I think this might be something worth looking at if your site is otherwise cluttered maybe and has a lot of in-between stuff, this might be a good thing. And by the way, this also is probably something that is kind of accessible too, maybe a better way to present your content to people with maybe sight disabilities or things like that. They might be able to enlarge it a little bit easier than what your typical site would. So maybe it has that added benefit as well.
I think I have an idea from a next poll question. I'm going to ask people, have you ever printed out a web article? I mean, do people do that? Do people print news articles? I mean, tutorials I can see. I mean, that sort of makes sense. And recipes, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that, like a news post, yeah, I don't know who prints out news posts. Yeah, except for maybe like Rush Limbaugh or those radio people, so you know all the paper rustling over the microphone.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's there. If it just depends on your circumstance, I guess, with your site.
So if I was going to create a new plugin, I'd somehow have to integrate Couch into the name, and you'd write about it or say something about it.
It doesn't hurt.
I mean, it's the least you could do. I mean, I'm dedicating a plugin to you. You know, I have your name in it. Anyways, that's pretty cool. I might review that for the Tavern in the next few days. Pretty cool stuff. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. Next week, there will be no show. I'm on a staycation. So looking forward to that. The week after that is going to be a late, late show because we're having Andrew Middleton on, who... works for WordCamp Central. So we're going to be talking about all things WordCamp. I'm looking forward to that because there's a never-ending list of WordCamp-y stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so, and that sold out super quick, and I got in this year. Hello.
Yeah. Bada-bing. Hey, where's our rimshot guy? Oh, so that does it for this show. If you can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com, look for the WordPress Weekly category. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Jeffro, that's JEFFR0. And Marcus Couch, how about yourself?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter, at Marcus Couch.
All right, so everybody have a safe, enjoyable week, and I'll talk to you again in about 2 weeks when we have Andrew Middleton. Take care, everyone.